My name is Jonathan Taylor Rush, and I'm serving as the guest conductor for the Minnesota Orchestra's Juneteenth concert.
Tell me about how you approached programming the works that are appearing on the June 14th program.
Absolutely. So when I was called to program the Juneteenth concert, you know, the first thing that came to mind was, well, I have to program works by African-American composers. You know, I wanted to be very, very intentional about that, but I didn't just want to present African-American classical composers, but I wanted to give a broad spectrum to let them know that, let people know that, you know, African-Americans have a range of musical styles. It's not just jazz or blues, or it's not just a classical piece that might have jazzy or bluesy elements, right? But there's music like hip hop, there's gospel music, and there are composers who have implemented those different styles or genres of music into their pieces. And so each piece on this program, I think, highlights either a different aspect of, you know, African-American music styles or traditions, and then also it even highlights a fusion of those styles as well.
The first piece that opens your program is Festive Overture by William Grant Still. This is a name that I know from some of his arrangements that he used to do for Artie Shaw and some of the things that are more in the jazz world. Can you talk about who William Grant Still was and maybe the significance of this piece?
Absolutely. So William Grant Still was born and raised in Mississippi, but he's also known as, like, you know, he has a big name, especially with the Harlem Renaissance. So you come all the way up to New York, you know, Cotton Club, all of those different things. You know, William Grant Still is he's a big name, and he was known by all of, you know, the big time artists like Duke Ellington, right? And so William Grant Still, he's known as the Dean of African-American composers simply because he was the first African-American to have a work performed by a major American symphony. That was his Afro-American symphony, which was his first symphony that he wrote. This piece, Festive Overture, that we're going to perform, it's a wonderful piece to open up a program. And you, when you hear it, you know, you think of an American Western film or something like that. But then he still adds jazzy and bluesy elements. He won a competition with this piece to commemorate the Cincinnati Symphony's 50th anniversary. And it was this piece was unanimously voted as, you know, just the number one piece, and they were able to go ahead and commission it.
Before I talked to you this morning, I watched a performance online of the Omar Thomas composition of Our New Day Begun, and it's really interesting. It seems to be based on Lift Every Voice and Sing, but it's a very dramatic work. And what would you have to say about this work to kind of pique people's interest?
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, the general theme of the piece is Lift Every Voice and Sing, which is, it's said to be the African-American, you know, national anthem, right? And I think that's the general scope of the piece, but that's not the entire meaning of the piece. The piece was really meant to honor the victims of the 2015 Charleston church shooting, you know, that happened in Charleston, South Carolina, which actually happened around this time. It was on June 17th, which is my birthday, right? But still, June 17th, I remember that day clearly in 2015, you know, the tragic shooting where a lot of people lost their lives. It was a historically Black church as well. And, you know, that was said to be a racially targeted shooting. This piece, it has that drama and it has that depth and weight when you listen to it, because that moment was so heartfelt. It hit the hearts of many people, not just in Charleston, South Carolina, but many people across the country, especially the African-American community, because it felt like an attack on our people and an attack on the church and one of the most sacred places around. And so you hear that inside of the music, but then still of Our New Day Begun, you know, it still speaks of a new day. There's still hope. Hope for a better future, hope for better people.
We need exposure for soldiers ending up homeless. I notice we got a POTUS that never think that he owes the feeling of being hopeless. I focus, it go my opus, the dopest. Before I wrote this, I might be a Mike Moses. God willing, I make a million, no see a
so there's a very different work that opens the second half of the concert, and this is someone that you've collaborated with in your capacity working with the Baltimore Symphony, who calls himself Wordsmith. Tell me about Wordsmith and Made in America.
Yeah, so Wordsmith is a good friend of mine now because we worked on so many projects when I was with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. But he's a Baltimore-based rapper, poet, artist, writer. And, you know, he wanted to put together a piece. I remember when he came to me with this, he wanted to put together a piece that fused classical music and hip hop. We were doing it actually for I believe it was a 4th of July concert that we were going to be having in Baltimore. And he came up with Made in America. And this was Wordsmith's project. The music was arranged and partly composed by the composer Don Hart, but Wordsmith was really the mastermind behind this project. And he takes pieces like Rimsky-Korsakov's Procession of the Nobles, and he takes Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 and finds a way to use them with hip-hop pieces that or works or songs that either sound like the music or kind of have a similar theme. So like you'll have songs like Drake Started from the Bottom, Now We're Here, and or you'll get the Wu-Tang Clan's Cream, C-R-E-A-M. It's just absolutely cool. It's amazing how he fuses in these different pieces and has different classical pieces. Like I said, Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, Ravel's Mother Goose, Sweet. You get it all.
I was sent a file of the Margaret Bonds piece, Benediction, and this piece, I understand, is actually written in 1967. Can you tell me about the genesis for Margaret Bonds Montgomery Variations and why you decided to include it on the program?
Absolutely. So just the Montgomery Variations in general was written. She was on tour and she happened to go to Montgomery, and you know, it's the capital city of, you know, a state that had a big impact, especially during the civil rights movement, especially just because of their rules of segregation or desegregation, I guess I should say. And just with everything going around during that era, you know, Montgomery is like almost the central city for the civil rights era because there's so many things that happened there. And so while she was on tour, she actually wrote this piece. It's a powerful piece. It's in many different movements, but it all circles around the theme or the spiritual, I want Jesus to walk with me. And she presents the theme in the beginning, and then we get towards the end of the piece, and that's where we get the benediction. And I love the name benediction because typically in like church services, they end the service with a benediction, and that's your blessing where you're now released to go out into the world and, you know, live the world with safety and things like that. And then you come back the following Sunday and then there's another benediction, right? And so the benediction is here to end the piece. And I think it's absolutely incredible work. And you really get a nice, beautiful hint of the theme, I want Jesus to walk with me, played by the cellos, carried on by the horns. But it's this piece that really, it's very, very heartfelt. And it makes you think of, you know, a lot of the tragedies that, you know, people face, especially during the civil rights era. But once again, it leads to hope and freedom. And I think that's a big theme of Juneteenth. You know, it's not just, you know, the liberation of slaves, right? But it's really freedom, it's hope, it's joy. And I think that's perfect for Juneteenth because Juneteenth isn't just about the liberation of slaves, but it is about freedom. It is about coming together, unity, and looking for hope.
There's one more piece that closes out the program on June 14th, and that's a Carlos Simon composition called Amen. Can you tell me about that composition?
Absolutely. So, well, first of all, Carlos is one of my good friends. He's an absolutely incredible composer. And I think it has to, well, I know it's because he and I have such a similar background. He grew up and has a lineage of pastors in his family, and he grew up in the Pentecostal church. And I have the same story. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. My father's a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor, so I have a lineage of pastors. This piece, Amen, actually pays homage to the Pentecostal church. And there's so many different elements of shouting, spontaneous shouting or dancing. It's a three movement work. There's no stop in between, but it's a three movement work that really takes you through it an entire church service, right? You really start to feel the spirit. And one thing that I love is at the end of his note that he wrote for the piece, and I think it's a perfect way to end this program too, and this is why we ended it with this piece. He writes that at the end, you shall reach a frenzied state, emulating a spiritually heightened state of worship. And it's just this big, loud chord at the end. I couldn't imagine anyone leaving this concert or hearing the end of this piece not feeling change in some way, right? Yes, I hope it can be a musically life-changing experience, but I even hope it to be a spiritually life-changing experience. For people who might have come in feeling down or feeling lost or hopeless, now they can leave feeling happy and found and hopeful.
So I have one follow-up question for you. It seems to me like when you're putting this concert together, you're trying to be as inclusive to incorporate as wide an audience as possible. And so how do you attract the fan of hip hop or the fan of gospel music or, maybe someone who didn't grow up listening to the music from the classical tradition and keep their attention through a program that might be an hour and a half like this?
So, yeah, the programming was very, very intentional. I wanted to throw everything in here for the hip hop lover, for the gospel lover, or the classical lover, right? And so it opens up, well, I think actually one thing about this program, because especially when it comes to classical music, because a lot of our music has been written by dead or old white men. I think just the fact that we have music of people of a different race, right? Music of African American people, being performed, it draws a new crowd anyways, because a lot of people, even in my community that I talk to, say, I didn't even know Black people wrote classical music. And I'm like, well, absolutely, yes, they did. So I think this concert, when you see the composers, it already sparks a different interest. But the way to keep everyone involved and keep everyone on their toes is, well, I like to mix up the program. So I'm not going to just give you one chunk of classical, one chunk of gospel, then one chunk of hip hop, but I'm going to mix everything in. So, yes, we start with a classical piece or two classical pieces, but then, at least Of Our New Day Begun has a story attached to it that can really touch somebody. And then, you also get the opportunity to hear this hip hop music fused with classical music. And so you're going to get some classical, right? But then at the same time, I'm going to present it in a way that's approachable and accessible to you, where you don't feel left out, where you don't feel like you're going to listen to something that's not interesting, but you feel like there's something for you, but also something for you to learn, right? And so, I hope everyone comes to this concert with an expectation of, yes, hearing maybe their favorite genre, but also to walk away with something different too, something that they might have never heard before, or an experience that they never imagined that they would have.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Peter. I'm so honored just to be here.